Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for your very enlightening introductory remarks. Before entering into the issue that we're supposed to deal here with today, let me briefly come back to what you, Mr. Chairman, outlined at the beginning of our discussion when you addressed four separate approaches to a definitional to a definition. The second category you outlined was the cumulative approach, and part of the cumulative approach, as you presented this, was the human-machine interaction or interface. And the third category, the accountability approach, which you presented as well, implied, you know, the loss or the maintaining of human control over machines. So I think this issue that we're dealing here with today is of extreme importance, not only to get a better understanding of what laws are and how humans relate with machines, but as well, I think we might make more progress in terms of a definition. Because of course, I think at least nationally, we came to the conclusion that a purely technical approach to definition might not be leading us very far, since we don't know what these machines in the end will be, but we know what sort of human control we would like to exert over the deployment of these machines. So thank you very much for giving us the opportunity right now to address this very important aspect of laws, as well in terms of our understanding of these things, but as well in terms of coming closer to what might be a working definition. Let me start with some general considerations. From our perspective, only weapons that are operated in compliance with IHL are acceptable means of warfare. This might, as is widely agreed upon, only be assured as long as the humans retain the sufficient control, at least over the critical function of the weapons they operate, to the extent necessary to ensure compliance with IHL. In that context, we highlight the importance of weapons reviews as required by IHL. This makes it necessary to further develop the already existing concept of human and machine interaction, or rather cooperation, as we would call it, in order to, and there are a couple of categories right now, in order to balance each the weaknesses of one or the other, where the humans has to retain the essential team element with the overall responsibility, and thirdly, that the human has to take the decision and to coordinate the processes that might be better executed by artificial intelligence components of the weapons. The minimum indispensable extent of human involvement, in particular over the critical function of the weapons, must not be replaced by machine-led decision-making from our view. Let me a bit more specific right now. Where do we see the human element over the life cycle of autonomous weapons systems? Development, testing, deployment. There will be always several actors involved to varying degrees in different phases of the development, and here we feel the human element should be retained as a critical aspect. In different phases of the development operation, offering a multitude of concrete opportunities for human-machine interaction. The examples for this human-machine interaction are, of course, for instance, the teams of software developers jointly creating the algorithms, which of course as well implies that when the algorithms are created, the values that we require for the deployment of weapons have to be put into these algorithms. Then, of course, there are the technical experts who train the software to improve it. Again, here there has to be human feedback in between the machine and the human future operator. Then the third element, engineers that are responsible for the hardware and the integration of these machines. Then last not least, there are political decisions deciding on the procurement to what sort of machines do we want to acquire. Then in the actual operational phase of deployment, then the issue is of course that intelligence official have to submit targeting information to the machine. Again, machine human interaction. Second last phase, the commander has to give the orders about the deployment of the systems. And the last phase, really, military personnel, which activates and potentially monitors the functioning. So what we are trying to say here right now, there are different levels of machine and human interaction where we feel that the decisive element should always remain the human element. Thank you so much.